Morning Ireland, 11 minutes past seven, and Russia's President Putin is a no-show for today's direct talks between Russian and Ukrainian delegations in Turkey. And neither now, with President Putin not there, will US President Donald Trump turn up. So what's likely to happen at these talks, and where does it leave the White House attempts to end the war in Ukraine, which is now into its fourth year? Foreign correspondent and security analyst in Istanbul, Borzu Daragahi, is on the line. And Borzu, Putin and Trump both no-shows. How likely was it that Vladimir Putin would have come to these talks in Turkey in the first place? And what message is Moscow sending with their choice of delegates?
Well, it was not a certainty that he would come at all. In fact, it was probably a delaying tactic that Putin himself offered up these possible talks in response to the European threat of additional sanctions on Russia, as well as added pressure from the White House to end the war, or at least come to some kind of negotiations. So the low-level officials that will probably meet in Istanbul in the next day or two to discuss these talks will not end up coming up with any sort of formula for peace.
So what's the win here for Ukraine? Is it that with Putin not turning up, they can hope, because Zelensky is there and doing what Donald Trump wanted, seeking direct talks? Do they hope that Washington will blame Moscow here?
Well, I mean, they hope that, but at this point, it's uncertain what will happen with a unpredictable White House under Donald Trump. Donald Trump has shifted his position from the time they had the meeting in the Oval Office, where he and J.D. Vance, the vice president, chastised Zelensky. Since then, the situation has improved with regard to U.S.-Ukraine relations. There is a hope that it will be clear to the White House that has leaned towards Moscow in the last few weeks that Ukraine is not the problem here. Russia is.
But do you think Moscow thinks, to quote Donald Trump, they hold all the cards here? They're coming into the summer. They've got a favorable administration in the White House. And Ukraine is under pressure to end a war that's becoming a war of attrition at this stage.
That's an interesting question. I think that Russia at this point, it's not going to end the war no matter what. Even if it was in a bad position, it would not end the war. It can't afford to be seen as losing at this point. It can't afford to meet any of the preconditions that Ukraine can set because it has already spent and invested so much treasure and blood in this conflict, that for it to retreat at this point, for it to just go home, it would not work out for Putin at all.
Talk to us about the Turkish President Erdogan and the mediator role he's playing. What's in it for him? And also remind us of the deal that was almost done in Turkey back in 2022, I think.
Well, there was talks back in 2022. There was a move towards some sort of agreement. But in any case, these talks, more than anything, are a big win for Erdogan. Listeners may recall that Erdogan was kind of in the doghouse internationally after he arrested or had the judiciary arrest the mayor of Istanbul, the primary opposition leader in the country, and where he still remains in jail. And you know, this is a big diplomatic win for him. All of a sudden, Erdogan goes from being an aging autocrat to a peace broker internationally, trying to end the biggest conflict afflicting the planet right now, and that is a win for him.
What's his track record been throughout these past 3 years plus of war?
Erdogan's track record, they've managed to come up with an agreement for the transfer of grain through the Black Sea. And that was a big win for the developing countries that depend on Russian and Ukrainian grain for their food supplies. And that was brokered by Erdogan. That was done here in Turkey. That was a victory. Other than that, there haven't been much victories in terms of diplomatic breakthroughs for the Ukraine-Russia conflict.
And if, as you seem to be predicting, is likely these talks make no progress in the next couple of days, what next? Do the European sanctions come into play?
I mean, that's a tough question. I think they would come into play because at this point, with the U.S. Retreating from the conflict, it's up to the Europeans to step up and put pressure on Russia. And I think that if they want any kind of move towards a break of the stalemate in the conflict, it's the Europeans, it's Brussels and NATO that have to make a move.
And then where does that leave? Because as you say, we've seen the reluctance of the Trump administration to go on providing backstop. President Trump has spoken about this on several occasions. But if the US were to play a more limited role, they would still be needed, wouldn't they, for intelligence and satellite? That kind of facility can only come from Washington. Again, is there hope in Europe that they may be able to leverage that commitment out of a President Trump who's been reluctant to give it so far?
I think there is hope. I think that the U.S. is a big ship. Trump may want certain things, and Trump may admire Vladimir Putin and his ways. But the U.S. administration is not just Donald Trump, not yet at least. There remain players in Congress and in the institutions, including the Pentagon and the intelligence services, that are very sympathetic towards Ukraine and want to do right by it.
Borzu Deragahi, foreign correspondent and security analyst in Istanbul. Thank you. The time now is 18 minutes past 7.